Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. My name is Daphne Clark Hudson and I'm your host. I am also affectionately known as the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And I am praying that this morning will be one of those mornings that I really live up to that title. We have an amazing guest on this morning. But before I bring her on, I just want to do a little housekeeping to remind you that the chat room is open and you can join us there. Also, you can call us in from wherever you are with your questions. And the number is 646-915-8166. And I am broadcasting this morning out of New Milford, Connecticut, where we are experiencing a beautiful Wednesday morning. And I pray that you too are experiencing a wonderful day wherever you are this morning. Thank you again for joining us this morning. And our guest is none other than the amazing, the wonderful, the dynamic Lorna Owens. Lorna, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Daphne. You talked about it. You read it just the way I wrote it.
I'm telling you, you're just an amazing person. And, you know, I must tell the listeners that maybe it was about 5 years ago I was surfing the net. And I saw this name, and I clicked on her website, and I realized she was a Jamaican, and she was a woman who has so many expertise, and she does them all so well. And I was so excited about what I was reading, Lorna. And I got on the telephone and I called you right away to introduce myself. And you were at the airport heading overseas to do what you are so committed to doing to empower women. And since then, I have been following you. We have not personally met face to face, but I know spiritually we are so connected.
Yeah.
And I just am so excited this morning to have you on here so my listeners can know more about you and see some of the reasons why I am so excited and, of course, so in love with you. So without any further ado, my sister, would you tell the listeners a little bit about Lorna Owens and what she's about?
Yeah, I'd be certainly happy to, and thanks for having me, and you know, hopefully the time we spend with your listeners would just be amazing. I grew up, as you said, I am from Jamaica, I'm proud to say that, grew up in Mandeville, which is a little village outside of Kingston, and I remember, Daphne, when I was 12 years old, I said to my mother I wanted to be a lawyer, and she said, lawyers did not go to heaven.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so in fact, I went to nursing school. And, you know, once a nurse, always a nurse. So I loved
nurse,
then went to midwifery school. And then when I came to America, I decided, you know, I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to follow my passion because I don't want to say I could have, should have.
That's
what I want to say to all your listeners. You'd never, ever want to say could have, should have. Mm-hmm. You want to live life out loud. And so I went to law school, practiced law for a number of years, got very burnt out from the practice of law, and I closed my law practice, opened a record label, lost over $1.5 million, had to take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And, but through it all, I knew that I had stepped into my calling.
Yes.
I knew what my passion was.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that no matter
mm-hmm.
what came down the pike, I was
mm-hmm.
not going to quit. I was not going to give up. And so mm-hmm. so fast forward, here
mm-hmm.
I am today living my passion.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, you have ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But notwithstanding, you can really, really become your own, get to the other side, so to speak, where you're
mm-hmm.
happy and productive. So that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lorna, I didn't tell you this when we spoke on the phone, but your story is my story. You know, growing up in Jamaica, went to nursing school. My mother died when I was 13 and all of that stuff. And then I came to America. And when I read your story about taking the bus, I said, oh, my God, this is me. Because, Lorna, there was a stage in my life when my car transmission went. And it was whether I paid the mortgage or I fixed the transmission, which at the time the man said was $1,900.
Ooh.
And I said, oh, boy, I don't think I'm going to do this. So I'm going to be walking down the hill. So I'm walking down nicely dressed, pike heel suit and everything, going about my business. And you'd be surprised to know the many friends that I've made, because people said, oh, where's this well-dressed woman going? And they stopped and they picked me up. But there was one stage when a gentleman and his wife from my church gave me a little red Wrangler pickup truck.
Right.
And I was so excited about the truck, Lorna, and I forget I wasn't stepping in a Mercedes when I'm going out to do what I have to do, because I was always properly dressed.
Right.
No, because I said, I'm a businesswoman and I'm going to look the part, regardless if I'm walking or I'm driving a pickup truck. And I'll never forget one day, one Sunday, when I pulled up at church and this woman, she was standing laughing hysterical. And I said to her, you know, what's the matter? And she said, oh, you don't know how funny it looks to see a well-dressed woman coming out of the pickup truck. And I said, oh, I am happy I've made your day. And I just walked by her and continued into church. So, you know, a lot of people, they don't know what your journey is like, nor your story.
Right.
Now, what your purpose and your calling is, and they just look at the material thing and what they are seeing now.
Yes, oh. Yes. Well, one of the things we get from that story is that your immediate situation does not define who you are.
Nope.
Because you are coming out of a pickup truck, but
mm-hmm.
in your mind,
that's right.
You were coming out of a Mercedes.
Exactly.
And I think
exactly.
That when we fall down, Donnie McClurkin says, we
mm-hmm.
fall down, but we get up.
Get up.
Every day you have to get up
mm-hmm.
over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And
because
one of
the things I continually let people know, it's not where you begin, but it's where you finish.
It's not the truth. It isn't that the truth. And you're not going, you hear it over and over again. It sounds like a cliche, but it's good medicine.
That's
never,
right.
Never, ever let your circumstances define who you are.
Mm-mm,
don't
mm-mm.
let that.
Mm.
Because if you do that, you will die.
You'll die with a lot of God's passion and purpose for your life in the graveyard, as my mentor, Dr. Monroe, Miles Monroe, says.
Yes.
The richest place on this earth is the graveyard, because so many people die without living their true calling and purpose. And this is why this show is devoted and dedicated to helping the listeners understand, please, it is important that you live your calling and your purpose, because there are millions of lives that you need to touch before you take your exit.
Yes, and so therefore, if somebody who's saying, so how do I do that? Basically, you do that in a couple ways. One, know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very clear about what you want, which is the same as know where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because by doing that, by knowing what you want or knowing where you want to go, you are able to tweak circumstances along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing that needs to happen is once you know where you want to go, you have to be flexible.
That's right.
You're
That's
not
right.
Going to work out. Even the best laid plans sometimes does not work out well.
That's right.
And,
That's right.
But you have to be so sold out to your calling, what you know you've come to this planet to do,
mm-hmm.
that you're willing to tweak it.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to step back and say, I have evaluated what I am doing. It is not working. So
mm-hmm.
if you want to be a motivational speaker and no one has called you in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing? How can you tweak this? What else must you do? Or
mm-hmm.
you want to write that book and you can't find an agent and you don't know how to write. What must you do? What actions must you take
mm-hmm.
to take you from where you are
mm-hmm.
to where you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And the final step that I would beg people to do is to take massive action.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because an object at rest takes a lot of effort to get going.
Mm-hmm.
But once
mm-hmm.
you have gained momentum,
mm-hmm.
there comes a time when you could almost just take your hands off what you're doing, and it will go. But in the meantime, if it's going to be, as we often say, it's going to be up to each and every one of us.
That's right. That's right. You know, Lorna, before we continue that, I want to just go back a little bit into, it's not really your beginning, but something amazing happened to you while you were mourning. Actually, you were at the funeral of your father.
Yes, yes.
But a light bulb went off. Would you like to tell the listeners about that?
Yes, because here's what was happening. When I went to Jamaica to my father's funeral, he died suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Just before I went and during the months before I went, I knew that I was burnt out from the practice of law.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was a burnout. I just, you know, didn't want to do it anymore. But as when you go to court, a lot of lawyers would say, oh, I hate this practice of law. So that was a common language you'd hear.
Mm-hmm.
But now I go to my father's funeral, and they're saying all these wonderful things about my daddy. And I'm sitting there thinking, they're never going to say that about me in a million years. And essentially what I was hearing was how good he was to others.
Mm.
And what he had done for others, and he had done it selflessly.
Mm.
And as my life flashed before me, what I saw was a lot about me. I was a lawyer. I was a midwife. I had a degree in international relations. You know, I was a registered nurse and
mm-hmm.
so forth. And that was a lot about taking care of me
mm-hmm.
and making sure that Lorna was well positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I kind of help people, but nothing like what they were saying about my father. And that day, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, at his funeral, I made a sacred promise to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, when I go back to America, I am going to change. I am going to do for others. I am
mm-hmm.
going to put other people first. And I was never going to go back to living the way I had, because I had the money, I had the blings, I had the six-figure income. Life was amazingly good.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't happy. I wasn't. Something
right.
was missing. And what was missing is service. You know, it's to be of service to others.
To others.
I came back and I changed. Now, the road, how it developed was certainly not what I had foreseen.
But it's the things that people need to understand. It's not about you, because God has prepped you to solve a problem. When that egg was fertilized, it was fertilized mainly to solve a problem. And we always think it's about us. But it's not about us.
It's really
not about what he created us to be. And the bottom line, Lana, as you said, it wasn't about Lana. It was about adding value to other people.
Yeah, and you needed to be on purpose.
Yes.
You needed to
yes.
be on purpose, because when you're on purpose, all I can tell you, it's a beautiful thing. I don't know who made the rules. I don't know how it happened, but being on purpose is a beautiful thing.
It's an amazing ride, because you are on a high every day, every night, regardless of the weather, whether it's winter, spring, summer, it doesn't matter. But when you are on purpose, when you are following your calling, your life is involved with true passion.
Yes.
True passion. And, you know, to whomever is listening to us now, we want to tell you it's not hard, because you can feel it deep down in the pit of your soul. You know, and you can feel why God created you. So stop going around and asking John and Dolores and Victoria or whether they think it's right for you, because they don't know. You are feeling it inside of you.
Yeah,
so
you
take
my always, you always know. You always know. And as my great friend Les Brown says, the how is none of your business.
That's right.
And
that's God's business. You
yeah,
just action.
Yeah, we get caught up in the how.
Mm-hmm.
You always know. I mean, knowing is a beautiful thing. You always know. So,
and the other thing, Lana, can you imagine if God revealed it all to us in the beginning? We would be so scared. We wouldn't want to take any action. And this is why he gave it to us in bite-sized pieces. So,
yeah,
the greater the action you take, then he reveals some more to you so you can continue.
Absolutely. You know, there's that adjustment period, so you can adjust. Because sometimes when we see our blessing, it would scare us. You know, if we saw 6 months from now, 5 years from now. Because when you're going through your stuff, it feels like it's never going to end. And you see no way out. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that you always come through. You just have to stick to what it is you believe that you're here to do. You have to have faith, and faith is not seeing the results.
That's
right.
That's right.
If you see the result, if you know how the story is going to happen, then you don't know. You don't need God. You don't need faith. But
that's
it's something
right.
That you can easily
think, oh, it's all about me. And so we are nothing. You know, we are just a vessel that God works through. And what we need to do is to every day when we wake up, we empty ourselves so he can refill us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, we need him to continuously fill us anew and remold us. But when we think it's all about us, oh no, you're already missing the boat, because it's not about you. And we are not here speaking religion, but we are telling you that a healthy spiritual relationship is needed if you are going to be on purpose.
Well, you know, basically, like you say, you know, I remember in Daniel Pearl's book, he was the reporter that was killed many, many years ago. He said, "What is your religion?" And
mm-hmm.
I also said, "My religion is helping others."
That's right.
And so when we speak about religion, I can't have my story without speaking necessarily about my faith, because
exactly.
That defines me. However, the steps for success are absolutely the same, regardless of what you tap into.
Mm-hmm.
I say that my religion is the golden rule: do for others, and it's the law. It's the law. You can't outgive this law. You know, life abhors a vacuum, and
mm-hmm.
the more you give, the more you get.
Exactly.
That's a law.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm not doing that for them. And I'm saying, no, you're doing for you. Because
good.
The more you add value to other people, you cannot stop the value that will come back to you. But if you are being selfish and hoarding all of what you should be doing for others, then you're going to become stagnant, and there is no growth that is taking place in you.
Well, I think a lot of people sometimes do it like not intentional. They're not like evil people, but they come from a mind of lack. And
mm-hmm.
they come from a world where it says, if you have, then I don't have, and that's not correct.
Nope.
I want to change that thinking. I want to let you know that there's abundance in our world and that whatever my gifts, my talents, my blessings are, Daphne, you don't have it.
That's right.
The only way I don't get my gifts, my presence, is if I don't open it.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how successful you become. That has nothing to do with me because there's more than enough.
And yes, there is more than enough out there for everyone. And, you know, if we don't have, it's because we don't claim.
Exactly. And so you got to move away from the fact you're hoarding. You're hoarding your contacts. You're hoarding your connections. You're hoarding what you have. Let it go. Because to grow, you need to be empty. And as I said, life abhors a vacuum.
That's right.
If you're hoarding and holding things close to yourself, you can't get your blessing because you're filled up. There's no space.
Right. There's no room.
There's no room.
There is no room. I want to just go back and to talk about each of these hats that you wear so well.
Okay.
You are extremely passionate about each and every one of them. And as a nurse myself, I started back in Jamaica, came here to the U.S., did it a little bit, and then I move on to the Mary Kay field and do, because now I find out that I am really in my calling and purpose.
Right.
Let's talk about Lorna, the nurse, and then you can carry on to Lorna, the midwife.
All right. Be happy to. As I said, I did nursing at the University of the West Indies in Jamaica
mm-hmm.
and loved it. I worked primarily as a psychiatric nurse
mm-hmm.
and thought that I would do nothing else. In actuality, I think you always take nursing with you.
Yes.
And if I tell you nursing has been tremendous, I think of myself as a nurse. Some of my favorite people in this planet are nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Always that place in your heart as a nurse. I left Jamaica, did the midwifery thing, but when I came to America and I was in law school, what put me through law school was nursing.
That's right.
I would work. I went to the University of Florida in Gainesville, and I would get up. I remember I would get up every Saturday morning, I don't know, like 4:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
drive to Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
work 12 hours as a nurse, and then drive back.
And
that's quite some ways. I don't know, maybe 2 hours away or whatever. It was far. In my head, it was far.
Determined, yep.
But I was determined, and I got there like 6:30 in the morning, 6:45, and I was never late for my 7 o'clock shift yet.
Right.
And I tell you, other people were so amazed that I was taking that long trek.
Mm-hmm.
That if on nights when I would be tired and didn't want to drive back,
mm-hmm.
I had so many homes to stay at. You know, I remember this woman, Corinne Clark, was so wonderful, and my friend Natalie Bronson. I could stay at her home, but I tell you, by the time they were up on a Sunday morning, I was already in Gainesville because I had a church that I loved.
That's right. You have to go to service.
I had to go to service. And when I was not working in Jacksonville, I remember I worked at RMC Lake Butler. Now, let me tell you this. RMC Lake Butler is a maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Because we come from Jamaica, and prisons, I'd never even seen a prison in Jamaica.
I've never seen one because they say it's of Spanish town. I've never seen it. I've been there, right?
No, but one presumes it has barbed wire fence and
yeah.
ugly. This, when I went to get this job, the lawns were well manicured, and it looked like a regular corporation.
Mm-hmm.
I got this job to be a nurse in the prison, and I get there this Saturday morning, and I enter, and they close the door behind me, and I'm like, why are you closing the door? And they looked at me like, are you crazy?
You don't know you're in a prison?
It's a prison. And I tell you, for a slight moment, I panicked. I had to say, calm down, you can get out. Because
yes,
they close those bars, it feels like forever. But I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful places that I worked at because I was able to show love and God's grace to the inmates.
Yes, I tell you something, Lorna. I did the Cairo Prison Ministry for 2 years. And when I shared with people that I do that, they were astonished. What? How could you do that? And when I tell them, I said, I have been working there, empowering the inmates for so long. I do their job fairs. I do everything. And people look at me funny, and they have less than kind things to say. And I say, you know something? If it was not by the grace of God, it could be any of us behind there. But I said, the only reason I know I'm in a prison is because all the women have the same gray and khaki on.
Mm-hmm.
And I see other corrections officer there. And if I have to go out, somebody need to escort me out. Other than that, I think I'm out on the streets.
Exactly.
Because there's no difference there with the women than the ones on the street. If it was not for the grace of God, it could be any of you inside there. And as you said, there was nothing else I've ever done that has blessed my life than working with those women. And there are women there from all over the world with different qualifications and education. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm so dedicated to empowering and help women understand about who they are is because of some of the stories I have learned in there.
Yes.
Of how women allow men to send them down that road.
I mean, when you say that, as you say that, I must tell you, I recently, in May, I did a huge trial. It was a double homicide.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I represented the woman, there were four defendants, my client being one, and she got into all that trouble, ending up getting a murder, double homicide, because of a guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, basically a boyfriend entered a home,
mm-hmm,
and created this problem. Two persons were killed, and
oh,
it became her issue as well.
My
so you
God.
You are correct. A lot of the time, the women who are there because of a major, major issue, they get dragged into it because of being with a boyfriend, acting as a decoy.
Yes.
Selling drugs for somebody pull out a gun, and here they now have a murder. So I working in the prison gave me a different side of life that I know nothing about, because I
didn't
grow up on the streets. I don't have anybody who's been to prison or jail.
Uh-huh.
I know what it is to take care of somebody on death row.
Uh-huh.
It ain't pretty. It isn't easy. And so nursing has taken me from the heights of the heights, but it also gave me a perspective into the heart and souls of lives of people who we are on the fringes, some of the people who are forgotten.
Uh-huh.
And it has given me the passion to understand that anybody can be redeemed. There's a concept called redemption.
Yes.
Even my passion certainly are the women behind bars, and that's my foundation. And it stemmed from my having worked as a nurse in the prison.
Yes, yes, yes.
So nursing has certainly taken me very far. It allowed me to graduate from law school with very, very, very little. I didn't owe any monies and stuff like that. I'll make sure that this line no longer disturbs us. And so it came at a great, great blessing to me. Nursing was a great blessing to me. I was able to put myself through law school inexpensively, and when I finished law school and worked as a prosecutor for Janet Reno, I worked on weekends to supplement my income. So nursing is an amazing and a very easily transferable skill.
Yes, and it, as you say, it helps us to really balance and ground ourselves, because every time, it doesn't matter what other field you go from being a nurse, for me, I continuously reflect on patients I've had over the years.
Yes.
I've seen some people gravely ill, and through the grace of God, they were able to get up and walk out of that hospital and live a productive life with their family. And, you know, So every situation that I enter into, I always occasionally think back to my life as a nurse who is working. So that's a noble career that you can never depart from it. You might not be actively working a case, but you're always, once a nurse, always a nurse.
And I think what people need to learn is this, that you take your skill. Life is a total package.
Mm-hmm.
The skill set you learn in one area, you might not be working that area now, but you can use it in where you are. For example, when I speak to the jury, when I'm picking a jury, I think the reason why I have such a good relationship with them, whether they vote in my favor or not,
mm-hmm.
is because of my nursing. I know how to speak to people. I'm calm with people. I'm confident with people. I can build rapport because nursing certainly teach you that. So sometimes
That's right.
people look at their lives and they're like, I hate my job. Sure, but you have experience from that you can use into your new profession or where you wanted to go. So nothing, every experience, every exposure is a teacher. So
That's
never
right.
look at all your exposure and say, oh, what a waste. It's never a waste. It's
never,
a
never,
waste.
Never a waste. I tell people the only time your career is a waste is if you're doing it for the money. If you are not making an impact or a difference or add value to somebody else's life, yes, it's a waste.
It's a waste.
Yeah. As long as you're touching lives, it can never be a waste because
Absolutely.
You might be the only sunshine some people see. You might be the only Bible they get to read. So why would you want to deprive them from that? Lorna, I know at present you have devoted your lab practice to serving women.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little?
I will certainly do that. My law practice, one day I was sitting on my balcony on Miami Beach overlooking the water, and I hear a voice, and I guess it's God's voice saying to me that I was to go down to the jail and to start doing things for women.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, when you listen to that inner voice, the day I got there, everybody, all the sergeants and the captains, and who could say yes that I could do a empowerment workshop for the women in jail, they were there.
Uh-huh.
I started going to the jail and started to take care of women.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was out of that, I realized that they needed great representation. They needed good representation. And so I take a couple of law cases now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're perhaps murder cases like the double homicide that I just did
mm-hmm.
and covered on In Session, which was formerly Court TV. For about 2 weeks, they ran my trial. Thank goodness my clients was found not guilty of the double homicide.
Amen. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So now I go back and I work with them as a lawyer. When I do take cases, it's always female because that's my passion.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it, I say to them, listen, you got here, it's your problem. Either you were running with the wrong person or whatever. So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get you out of this trouble. And after that, I want for you to work with me because I can take you from where you are to where you want to go.
That's right.
So because I can give you skills that if you do what I say or if you work with me or if you work with the mentors that I will provide you, you
mm-hmm.
never, ever, ever have to go back to jail.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
And I'm not running a welfare system. You want it, you want it. If you don't want it, that's life in the fast lane. You know
exactly.
I mean?
Who? Next, next.
Some will, some won't. Next. And they know that. They know that. I mean, I love them to death, but they can't bamboozle me. I am not part of their hustle.
That's
yeah.
right, and the wool cannot be pulled over your eyes.
Yeah, so you know, I don't care how you got here. I didn't look at your jacket. It is what it is, so what are we going to do about it now? You know, so that's essentially where I am, and it's a lot of joy. It's a lot of joy serving
mm-hmm.
primarily the inmate population. They call me the lady lawyer.
The lady lawyer.
Lady
wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, God is blessing you more abundantly because of the value that you are adding into these women's lives, Lorna, because I know personally many of those women who are released from prison,
yes.
they have no family to go back to. They
yeah,
have lost spouses, they have lost parents, they have lost siblings, they have lost children. And they are going out there alone. So when they encounter you who can show them a new beginning, it is indeed a blessing
one
for
of the
them.
Thank you. One of the things we have to be mindful of as a society, and it's really a serious thing, when women go to prison, when women become incarcerated, it affects the family differently. Because
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the mother is the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman goes to prison or jail, unless she has a very strong family tie, and lots of them, she could lose her children, and the
yes.
children could become wards of the state. And
mm-hmm.
then what? It's a little bit different for the male. It's a very disparate reaction when the mothers go to jail. So we really have to find a much more efficient way of handling women in the system.
Yes,
unfortunately,
yes,
all the programs are cut. So it's going to be private people and churches that will get the skilled training for these women, because if they don't get skilled training, I mean, the fact of the matter is this, if they have all these children and they go to jail and they come out and you have no job because now you're a convicted felon and all like that, they're going to go back to what they know best, and they're
mm-hmm.
going to go back to God.
And then what happened? It's like a revolving door, because
exactly. And you and I can talk as much as we want. We have not walked in their shoe. I don't excuse it. But if you come out with nothing, no skills while you're away, you've lost everything, you're going to do what you have to do. And it might not be in your best interest.
Best interest.
So we really, really have to. Even when the church is going, it's okay to get people's souls saved. I mean, that's nice too, but we really need programs for
them. Oh, yes, because they come out and, you know, in there they got their spiritual health going, and then they get out here and people start judging and say, yeah, right, that was when he was in jail. They come out here and they think, oh, I know one lady was saying, oh, once a leper, always a leper. That's what she's saying. And she doesn't believe that people can change regardless of whatever help or program they get. So with people coming out with that stigma and, you know, and the labeling and the programming that you cannot become anything better than you were, they, of course, they're going to just head back
It is an uphill battle, but on the other hand, we have to realize that America is a very forgiving country.
Yes.
A very forgiving country.
Yes.
And even one person might say that, it is perhaps from a place of ignorance.
Oh, of course it is.
It's a place of ignorance, because people change all the time.
Every day, every second, every minute.
And more people than we know, if we were to run some background check on some of our best friends.
Oh, please, Lord, yes. You wouldn't want to know, yeah?
You know, or a lot of us do things that we don't want anybody to know. The law might not have caught up with us yet, but we've shown poor judgment.
That's right. Exactly.
So I don't care what you've been.
That's right.
I want to know, what are you going to do from this day
forward?
From
now.
Because it's possible.
That's right.
It's possible. It's harder. So don't get arrested. It's
That's
harder.
Right.
Don't get convicted. But it's still possible.
It's possible to make a difference in your lives and in the lives of others, the people who are entrusted in your care, especially your children. You know, a couple years ago, I went to a book writer symposium in New York, and I met this woman there. I forget her name now. She's from out in California.
Right.
And she was an author. and she was in prison. Mm-hmm. And when she came out, she had journaled in prison. And right. when she came out, she wanted to publish the journal in a book, and she couldn't get any publishing company to do it for her. And she started off as a self-publisher and right. built herself up. She borrowed $500. And when she was operating her self-publishing company, then there was an article in the local paper and which a national media had picked up on her story. And right. what do you know? One of the biggest publishing houses came to her little self-publishing place that she had set up to interview her. And she was able, Lorna, to get $250,000 for them to publish her book. She used reverse psychology, because when they were reading that story, they wasn't looking on her as the previous inmate. She was now a successful author, and yes. they wanted her business. So she used reverse psychology, and it worked to her advantage and to the advantage of her son, who always stood by her. Lucky for her, she had supporting family while she was incarcerated, and she did not lose her son. Right. And it was such a lovely, beautiful story.
You know, a book that I would recommend for people to read, it's Lisa Nicholson. She was in The Secret. Her book is called No Matter What. She has a new book out.
Mm. Yeah, I know Lisa.
No Matter What. Mm-hmm. And part of it was surprising, because I know Lisa, and I didn't see that. I didn't know that. But it tells about the time, one time she got arrested, because mm-hmm. not for anything she had done, but she was working with a company that was on the down low, as we'd say, and she got dragged into the whole thing, not knowing what they were doing, and she got dragged and got arrested. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if her case was ever dropped, or she eventually pled no contest to get out of the system and be on with her life. But the bottom line is that she does speak about that. And all of us, we're certainly able to move forward no matter what. Some of us have a harder road because of the choices we've made, and it is what it is.
That's
but I
right.
believe in the resilience of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we all can make it. I believe success is written in our DNA.
That's right.
And we can make it. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I believe that. So my word is always to encourage, because you never know who might make it, who you might say one word to, or one act of kindness might eventually turn that life around.
Right.
I remember when I went to the jail to do my Women Behind Bars, and my first night that I was there, I met a girl by the name of Estella Washington.
Uh-huh.
And you really should have her on your program. And Estella took me on. I mean, because she was like, why are you here? Are you here to give us a job? No. Are you here to give us housing? No. But listen up, because I'm going to give you something that if you follow what I say, you can do all of that for yourself.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the class, I asked her to stay behind, and I said, tell me who you are, because I'm about to put you out of my class. So
uh-huh.
talk fast, because this is not a class that the judge, you have to come by judge. I am giving my time freely. Nobody's paying me. I am doing this because I want to do that.
So that's
I don't
right.
I don't have to have you in my class. So what is your story? So she told me that she had a degree in psychology. And I said, well, that you ain't doing well then. So
need to use it on ourselves.
Yeah, you're not doing well. So I said, here's the deal. You're going to be my best student. If you choose to come back next week, you're going to be my best student. It turns out that she was my best student. I was able to get her time cut significantly. She was in for robbery.
Oh.
And now she lives in the Atlanta area and is doing amazingly well. She got remarried. She is on the speaking circuit. She's doing a multi-level, a direct sales business, doing extremely well at it. So, you know, you never know.
That's right.
So if it's just the one person that I was able to pluck from the rubbles, I said, hey, I did a good job, and that's it.
Right.
I'm out of here, you know?
And she will come around and pluck somebody else out of the ditch.
Yeah.
And because I tell people, don't look to do 1,000, 10,000. Concentrate on one. And if you can change the life of one person, then your spirits and your energy will be ignited the next time you go out. You do two or three, but don't give up because you figure you won't get anybody. You never know who you will make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is kind of the nursing story. Then I went to England and studied midwifery. That was really nice. I think living in the British countryside is just as nice as it can get.
I've been told. I've never been there, but I hear it's lovely.
It was lovely. And back, well, then midwifery was big. You did home births.
Mm-hmm.
And just it was a skills thing, and I was really.
What's a home birth?
Home birth is when you go into somebody's home and you didn't.
I said I was one.
Oh, you were, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, and I was really good at it. I really loved it, and perhaps would have continued practicing midwifery when I came to America, but then 20 odd years ago when I came, midwifery was not that established.
No, you should have gone to Jamaica.
Oh, well, I was in Jamaica. When I finished my midwifery, I went back to Jamaica, and then I got an opportunity to go to Corpus Christi, Texas. A friend of mine who loved to fill, that was like in 79 when there was this big shortage of nursing. And she filled out on a whim something in a magazine and sent it in, and she got a job just like that.
Isn't that something?
And she then decided that she didn't want to go to Corpus Christi by herself because we didn't know where it was. I said to her, ask them if you have a job for me, and they said yes. And the next thing I know, my ticket was in the mail, and I was in Corpus Christi, Texas. And
wow, amazing.
But also, too, what I learned from that is that when opportunity knocks, you need to take it.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Fast forward.
Action. Action.
Yeah, fast forward now. I mean, a green card is such a hard thing to get.
That's right. And you look back on those days, it was like handing out bun and cheese because it was so easy.
They were giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
I had an H-1 visa, and I came to Miami, and I wasn't planning to live in America. I was going to go to Saudi Arabia. I was going to travel the world, and I kept traveling back and forth on my H-1 visa. And the officer stopped me one time at the airport, and she says, "You know, you can't be traveling back and forth like this." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Because I'm not trying to live here."
I remember way back when in Jamaica we have B1 and B2. Those of us who were in for business, we have them both, you know.
I had a professional visa. So I said, what do you want me to do? So she said, you need to get yourself a green card. I say to her, but I don't want a green card. Like, here is the paper. Fill it out because I can tell you we're not going to allow you to be traveling in and out of the country on this H-1.
That's right. I know you're happy you did. I'm telling you.
Yes, I said, okay.
Those were the golden opportunities.
Yeah.
Golden opportunities.
Exactly. So I took it to the hospital, and I said, the people at immigration says you have to sign this. So they signed it.
And they didn't ask any question. They just signed it.
They just signed it. I said, I think it was like $50 then.
Oh, my heavens.
I went down for my interview. We talked about something else.
And my green card
arrived in the mail.
I'm telling you, way back when, those were the days, you know.
You do want to take care of opportunities when they knock, because you never knew what else.
Just take it. There is never a bad opportunity. An opportunity is an opportunity. And even at the present, you might not see how it fit into your calling and purpose, but trust me, it is a part of the puzzle. And you just take it and, you know, put it on the back burner or on the shelf, because the time is going to come when you're going to need to take it off and just say, whoops, this is where it fits. And it just fits right into it.
A lot of times we can't see the future. We don't know, because from where we are, things are really looking bleak.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are going to the foreclosures, people are laid off, and the truth of the matter is some people cannot see a way out.
Mm-hmm.
But my deal is this, if you can just put one foot forward every day, if you keep moving in the direction of where you want to go, you'll get there.
That's right. And you know, Lorna, there are so many resources available to people. I tell people, stop isolating yourself.
Yes.
Make a phone call. Reach out to somebody. Get yourself a mentor. There are people who want to help you. But if you just isolate yourself, you're not going to make it. You have to reach out. Remove pride and ego out of the way. Reach out, because if you reach out, you'd be surprised to know how many outstretched arms there are to pull you back up or to embrace you and said, you cannot do it alone, but together we will and we can.
Yeah, and like we say, ask for help, not because you're weak.
That's right.
But because you want to remain strong.
That's right. That's right. Because too many, you know, you said it so well, too many people think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. But no, it shows that you are empowered and you're strong and you know when help is needed. You know, a lot of people, they turn their noses up when you mention about coaches and mentor and all of those things. And I said, look on all the athletes. I said, look on Tiger Woods, you know, one of the richest men in the world. Don't you think he has a coach?
Yeah, every successful person has a coach.
Every successful person has a coach.
As I coach women and men around the world, what I am, I'm not doing it for you. I'm like a mirror. I'm holding this mirror up to you so you can see yourself clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And you, with my help, with my with my support,
mm-hmm.
you can move. It's like a chess game.
Yes.
So when people think that a coach, we're not telling you what to do.
We're helping you to prioritize.
Yeah, we're just helping you to prioritize. We're helping you do better what
mm-hmm.
you already know to do.
I tell people, I say, I'm an extractor. All those dormant things that you have there, I help you to pull them out and you put them in front of you. You admire them and you prioritize them. I'm not telling you to discard anything, but I'm helping you to utilize all that you are able to do.
Yes.
It's just such an amazing and rewarding thing. I want to remind people that the chat room is open and that the phone lines are up. To please call us, Lorna, I'm in conversation with Miss Lorna Owens, and Lorna is an expert attorney. She's a nurse, she's a midwife, she's a successful and savvy businesswoman. She is a coach, and she's known worldwide, and when we get back on the line with her, I'm going to have her talk a little bit about her global travels and empowering women all over the world. The number to call with your question is 646-915-8166. And, of course, you're listening to the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm in conversation with Miss Lorna Owens. Okay, Lorna, I know you are a world traveler.
Yep.
Now, you want to mention some of the countries that you have been serving in, and if you have noticed any difference between the women from the different countries, would you mention that, please?
Wow, yes. I mean, obviously, I serve in Jamaica, and I will be in Jamaica August 22nd to work with some of the women there. But I have traveled to Singapore, I've traveled to New Zealand, I've traveled to London, Cayman Islands, Bermuda, all over Canada, and, you know, I've gone to Africa. And I think women around the world, they are the same. We we enjoy sharing, we enjoy getting together and talking about our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much that unite us. I think the difference is, and it's a loss for us in North America if we're not doing business beyond our borders. With the world the way it is, with the ability to Skype, with the ability to telephone and the internet and Facebook and Twitter, it's a huge mistake to not grow your business outside the borders.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you, for one thing, the economy in the U.S. or North America is it's down now. But
mm-hmm.
in some countries in the world, they have a robust economy.
That's
Trinidad,
right.
For example, because of their oil and all like that,
mm-hmm.
they have a robust economy. It has a robust economy. So you could be doing business in Trinidad. I've met women outside of America who are quite wealthy. Like very, very wealthy. I've met women in Jamaica who are very, very wealthy by anybody's standard. They're wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple years ago I met a woman who owned, I don't know, maybe 10 McDonald's free and clear. And she's Jamaican. And, or in Singapore, Jenna Tui, who has a company called the Hourglass, is one of the wealthiest women in Singapore. Find those women, be mentored by them, and see if we can do business beyond our borders and not just think of the fact that we live in America and this is the only place we can do business.
That's right.
That is something that I am tremendously passionate about, saying to women, go when you're on Facebook, we perhaps need to talk a little bit about new media.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about new media for business as, Facebook and Twitter. Well, first of all, do not put up on Facebook things that does not represent you as a person and as a business person. It will come back to haunt you.
That's right.
No bikini pictures for professional business women.
Please.
No cut off for guys and no language. That your company, because let me tell you, your company can go to your Facebook page. People
That's
who
right.
are hiring go to people's Facebook page. And what you're saying there and putting your business out on the street like that will come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
The world has shrunken and we get really, really confused as to our place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But be that
mm-hmm.
so, if you follow those rules, then you can Facebook. A lot of people who come to my And the Women Gather website come from interaction on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and you can build business. I'm going to go to Kenya, and the woman that I'm in dialogue with in Kenya, I guess we develop a friendship on Facebook.
Yes.
But there's a lot of ways to promote your business outside the borders without ever going there at first.
That's right. That's
I've expanded my business. I do have a business that Soul Purpose Lifestyle Company, and it's expanding to Puerto Rico. And the person found me on the web. I did not find her. She found me on the web. And
That's
when
right.
I called her, I said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I found you on the web."
That's right. That's how I found you. I would not have known you were out there and what you were about. And that's what how I found you. And I said, "Oh, I'm sure this lady can add value to what I'm doing." And I pray that I'll be able to add value to what she's doing.
We always do. We always do. So don't be afraid and say, "Well, I have a little bit of marketing." Because there's so many places that you can promote your goods and services on the web.
That's right. We really don't need financial capital to do it.
You really don't. You really, really don't. You can write press releases. You can write stories about yourself or your business and post it in so many venues. You can find people everywhere and anywhere. And as you know, Daphne, by having this radio show, people are willing to talk to you. They're willing to share their expertise. It's easy. It's one world, and it's a very, very connecting world. And, for those professionals who have to make calls around the world, for example, one program you can use is Skype. I don't get any money from talking about Skype. I just happen to use it. and you can speak to people in all countries for free.
Oh, I have to. I joined Skype, but I have to figure out how to use it because I have some. Matter of fact, I have some people in Jamaica I want to have on the show, and I want it to be an economical phone call for them and also myself. So I have to utilize.
The thing about Jamaica is that they have great cell phone services and stuff
yes.
like that. And so a business person in Jamaica is not going to balk at coming on a program and speak for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. They're perhaps not going to speak for an hour, but for 15 minutes because it's part of doing business. It's part
yes.
of doing business.
And I will, you and I, we will talk about that and how to get some of those people connected because as you converse with me now, I've heard you made mention of some people that I'm sure will add value to my listeners, and I'll talk with you about getting them on the show. Well,
yeah.
we are at the halfway mark, Lorna. I want for you to take this opportunity and tell the listeners how to connect with you, please, and then we'll go back into conversation.
Okay, yes. People can connect with me many ways. I have my community website and thewomengather.com. And it's and, like something was happening, and thewomengather.com. They can certainly connect with me that way or email me at info@andthewomengather.com. I have my personal website, which is lornaowens.com, and they can connect with me online by sending an email to contact@lornaowens.com. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I love to speak to people. So if you call here and I'm here and I'm not with a client, whether my assistant or I, will pick up the phone and I'll speak to you. And it's 305-573-8423. 305-573-8423. And I'm always talking to people because you get so much from interacting with others. You certainly get more than you give.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much, Lorna, for passing out that information. And I want to remind people to call in. Call in, please. The number is 646-915-8166. And the chat room is also open. So please, let us hear from you. And, of course, I am in conversation with Miss Lorna Owens. Lorna, we heard about the successful nurse, the successful midwife, the powerful attorney, past and present. Let us talk about the entrepreneur / small business person.
We'd be delighted to. One of the things that works in our world is still the small business, the entrepreneur. And I encourage small business, but you have to remember something. You are everything.
That's right.
When you start your small business, it might not go the way you expect. You might have to max out your credit card, and you're like, it's maxed out already. You might have to borrow from your family and friends. Just pay them back or whatever is necessary. I do believe that a lot of businesses today cost less money to get up and going because of the Internet. But also be mindful that to be successful, you have to run your small business like a business.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you are the only person and you work late at stuff, or you still have to answer your phone at 9 o'clock. If 9 o'clock is the time, you tell people that you're going to be answering your phone.
That's right.
Do
That's
everything.
Right.
Everything you can. Do everything you can to to get a live person online, which means that the cell phone that you have is for your business. My cell phone, I don't talk that much to friends and family on it because I'm not running time on it because I want to be able to transfer my office phone to my cell phone so that I can answer it. So
mm-hmm.
either myself or if my assistant is not in the office to answer the phone, it must be answered.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes to voicemail, we're going to answer, we're going to return your call within 24 hours. Usually it's within 8 hours before the day is finished. Because those are practices that a small business, or it's good for any business, but particularly a small business. Because silence say to people, you're not in business. The other thing you have to do as a small business person is follow up on every lead. Because you never know which one might pan out for you. You also need to know your demographics. Who are you going after? Because as a small business person, the likelihood is that you can't be everywhere. So figure out my demographics as women, 35 to 60. And I can't be everywhere. And I'm not trying to be everything to everyone.
That's right.
I know I'm going after the professional woman, saying that you can be successful, but you need balance.
Mm-hmm.
So find what is your demographics and understand that during the course of a week or so, you're going to be coming across many people that can help you. Les Brown says, ask for help, not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong.
Mm-hmm.
So as some people are going to come, Malcolm Gladwell has a book, and I talk about Malcolm all the time. There's a book that I used to be my business partner. It's called The Tipping Point. And in it, it talks about that you meet people of different characteristics. For example, a person called a maven, and that's a person who has a lot of knowledge. No, that is your business partner. They're not in your business, but they're a business partner. I have a girl called Wendy Unger who lives on Miami Beach, and I call her for everything. You know, I call her to ask her what business is open, what restaurants are open, where is the address. Like, I can't look it up, but she knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of wasting my time, I just call her. So there are people who know everything. They know the best price for this. They know how to let them connect you. There are some people who are connectors, and they know, well, there's Daphne and there's Lorna. Those two people should know each other. That's all they are. They're connectors. So there are lots of people that we'll come across daily that we should not blow off, because they can enhance our business even though you are the only person.
That's
so you can
right.
have virtual business partners around the world. And as a small business person, you need to learn to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And you connect the dots primarily, if you can connect the dots that come from what's called your periphery, then you're doing a good job. And what that means is this. Say, I'm a motivational speaker and an author and a life coach. But I look in the spa business, and I see somebody who's quite successful, Nadine Thompson from Soul Purpose or Carol's daughter or whatever. I must be able to look at them, see what they're doing, and be able to copy it. I'm the queen of copying. Right? Don't reinvent the wheel. Don't reinvent the wheel. Okay, I just give credit. I say this is who I get this from. These are not my ideas, but it's certainly a very good idea. You don't want to reinvent the wheel, because success leaves trails. So you can look in a successful business, Donald Trump, Oprah, whomever, and you're able to see what they're doing, and you copy it, because success leaves trails. And success in the speaking business is the same success as a plumber, is the same success as a writer. Same,
that's right.
Same, no different. So learn to connect the dots and learn to learn from your periphery. See what's happening in the periphery. Follow trends. When you read the newspaper, pick up trends and understand what's in and what's out.
That's right.
So those are some of the, just little things that I have learned about business. And I also know that, like I said, you're everything. You're the one. Don't be disappointed if your business does not turn a profit within a short time. It could be 3 years, 2 years. But stay focused. Stay focused. Don't be all over the place.
Excuse me. A lot of people's downfall comes because they are looking for microwave result.
Yes.
And I have this conversation with people quite often. I ask them, when you were working a job, you were expected to put in how many hours? And some jobs, depending on where you're working, you're expected to do nights, holidays, weekends, and all of that.
Right.
But now that you are self-employed, why are you cutting corners? Why do you think you can only work 4 hours and expect to become successful? Part of it is
we have to learn to be entrepreneurs. A lot of us come from background where nobody has, and so we really don't have the formula. And
uh-huh.
You are so correct. It is easy for us to pour into other people's business.
That's right.
But when it comes to our business, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something we have to learn, that the same way you're such a good, loyal person at the bank, when it comes to your business, you have to work twice as hard.
Exactly. People always say, oh, I don't see you anymore. You're always going here. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. And I say, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yes.
I say, I work from sunrise to sundown, and I say there's sometimes when I'm going to have to work beyond there, because they are the first one that's asking you, why don't you get a real job with benefits? So you got to do what it takes to be successful in what you're doing. Lorna, I know ever since we started our conversation, we focus mainly on all the upsides to the reasons you excel and that you are so successful. But I'm sure that you can find sometimes when you had hit some down times,
yes,
and things were really looking bleak. Would you like to talk about some of those times, please?
Yes, because one of the things we have to realize is that, so you're marketing yourself and you're doing all of this, there's a big delay between when all the effort you're putting out and the result. And a lot of times when I would hit the downtime, when no money would be coming in, it was a time for me to go back and tweak what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you can get off track.
Mm-hmm.
Because truth of the matter is, when you're everything, sometimes you're not sure. And so somebody says, try this, and you're over there. And somebody tries that, and you're over there. And it's usually sometimes when I lose focus. And even when you've done all you can, especially in this economy, things might still be horrible. But you have to understand back where we started, which is that your circumstances don't define you. Like
That's
I said,
right.
Let me tell you something. When I started speaking for a living, when I thought I was going to be speaking for a living, I had seen a contract for Deepak Chopra, and that's, I don't know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and it said $20,000, and I was like, holy mackerel. So when, and it said for an hour, and I thought, holy mackerel. So when I started speaking, I made up these beautiful media kits and nailed them out at $2 a pop, like 100 of that, right? All this money. And I sent it to everybody. And I knew, I felt that I wasn't Deepak Chopra because nobody knew, but I felt with all my background, I was a lawyer, I was a nurse, I was all that and more, I could get 5,000 for an hour. And nobody answered.
Yeah, nobody knows.
They were like, who is this crazy girl, right? And I was like, uh-oh, something is wrong here.
Oh,
so I thought, I can't do that anymore. So I went to the web, and I sent out these emails to people, like I sent out a lot to Unity churches, because I know they used speakers, because I had watched Deepak Chopra and some of the big Marianne Williamson and Les Brown, and I kind of see where they went, and so I'm like, ooh, if these people are hiring them, then I'm going to go there too. So I sent these emails out, and I said, I'm going to be in your area.
That's right.
As a lawyer, because I don't know what they pay, so I said the usual honorarium. So you see, I'm telling you, your old skills will serve you well, because
that's right.
Lawyering, saying the usual honorarium will apply. Well, mm-hmm. free is good. So everybody started saying yes, Daphne. I don't have no money. And I'm the yes, you're coming from, you know, one day I could be in Texas, the next day I could be in Los Angeles, then have to fly back to New York. And I thought, oh, this isn't good. Because when they would come back, I don't know where they are. And then I would say yes, and I'm like, oh, God, no, 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 they're in California. And the next day I'm supposed to be in New York.
Oh, man, that's not good.
But I gave my word.
That's
and
right.
I had to be there. And so I started sending out saying that, well, I'm going to be in New York and the usual honorarium. So when people would come, when people would say yes, you know, I would be in New York and I could perhaps do New Jersey, Philadelphia together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way
Connecticut, yep. Mm-hmm.
I started speaking for free. And I remember, I distinctly remember going to speak in Baltimore. And I had maybe $12. And I took the bus to go to the airport. Miss Motivational Speaker, going to there. And when I was on the way to the airport, I remembered that I had gotten a call from a person who said he was my cousin. And I didn't know him. But he said, no, I had called him because a family member had said
that's your cousin.
My cousin. And I called him and I said, listen, I'm coming to Baltimore. And he said, oh, my goodness, you're coming. You have to stay with me.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I got religious and I said to myself, thank you, Jesus.
No, but the Lord, yes.
Because remember, I only have
$12. $12 after
and
you pay that bus. That wasn't even enough for the bus.
It was for nothing. I have nowhere to sleep, but I'm dressed to the hilt going to speak.
Right, Lord, I know what you're talking about, sister.
So he is, so. And the next thing I said, please, Jesus, let me recognize him when he comes to pick me up at the airport. Because I don't know him. So
Lord.
I'm at the airport, and I see this lady coming towards me, and she's smiling big. And I'm like, that must be his wife. And she comes up to me, Sandra, and she says, you're Lorna. She says, yes. I recognize those Owens cheek. I thought,
oh, Lord.
And I
oh,
went,
thank you, Father.
I went and I spoke and I sold my books and I'm praying. So Jesus, please let these people buy my books so I can get back home.
Oh.
You know, and they did. And they did. And I stayed with my cousin and he fed me and drove me around. And I came back with maybe a couple hundred dollars in my pocket. So I've been there. I mean, for real, I've been there.
Right. You've
I have
been there. Done that.
When I had no money and promised to meet somebody to for coffee to speak about a business opportunity to get work, and I'm looking under my bed for a quarter.
Oh.
I am.
Yeah.
And I leave because I'm like, I got to go. And I walk to the Starbucks on Miami Beach, and just before I get to the woman, a voice had looked down, and I found $2.
Ooh,
in there. You know, I have gone to Publix with $20 because I only have $100, and I decide not to take all $100 to spend it at the supermarket. And I get there, and a voice said, look down, and I find $5. And
wow.
So that is how I left my house with $20 and go to Publix and bought food for $23.16.
Wow.
That same day, on my way back, a voice said to me, look down, and I found $5.
Wow.
I'm not telling you all to go start looking for $5 on the road.
No,
what I'm
but
telling you is that God will provide for you no matter what.
No matter what. And, you know, each of us, our blessings come differently. But the one thing is that we are obedient. When we hear that voice speak to us, take action. When the voice say, look, don't stop to ask why, you look down.
Yeah.
Because too much time we try to rationalize things in our heads. And that's what trip us up.
Yep.
This is why we lose our blessings. Because we are taking time to figure it out.
Yep.
Figuring it out is not our responsibility.
It's really not your responsibility. I know what it is to leave Miami Beach and go to Fort Lauderdale by bus and get on a plane for a 7 o'clock flight and not be late. And like you said, how you were dressed up in this mm-hmm. trunk, and people look like I was dressed up on the bus, and I was glad that it was moving and taking me where I want to go. I didn't have time to be sorry for myself or whatever, because it didn't define me.
That's right.
Where I was, it's not where I intended to stay.
That's right. And during those times, Lorna, the one thing I found out is that places that it used to take me half an hour to get to by car, I'm going to want to allow an hour and a half
yes.
for the bus.
Yes.
And because it took me 45 minutes to walk down from where I live down to Route 7 to catch the bus, I didn't let that deter me. You know, I knew I need to do what I have to do. And regardless of what people are saying, I knew I had to do. I have a very good friend now who is an international hotelier. And she has one of the best friends in Jamaica that works at the Half Moon Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I met that woman because I was walking down the hill. I used to ride the bus with her sister. I didn't know her sister, but I'll go on the bus. The minute I put my fare in, I would say good morning or good afternoon, and I would sit down. And she saw me walking down the hill, and she jokingly said, "Oh, my God, look at this woman. She's dressed in spike heel shoes. Where is she going?" And our sister said to her, "You must pick her up. You must pick her up. She rides the bus all the time. You got to pick this woman up. It's a nice lady." I've
right.
never spoken to the woman other than smile and say hi on the bus.
Right.
And she picked me up, and I said, "Thank you." And she said, "You Jamaican?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, one of my best friends, Myrtle Dwyer, is in charge at the Half Moon Hotel." I said, "I know Myrtle. I know Myrtle from she was a little girl."
Right.
And if I was not walking, I would not have met this woman, and she would not have been a valuable part of my present network now.
Yep.
So as you say, do not discount anybody.
Yeah, and as you know, Half Moon is a five-star hotel in Jamaica. I've stayed
of course.
At their property. Another thing is that you've got to keep, as a small business person or anything, you got to keep your numbers.
That's
you
right.
You can't be changing your phone numbers every 5 minutes and your email, because it is a very funny thing. You might give somebody your card 5 years ago. They never contact you. And all of a sudden, 5 years later, they're contacting you.
That's
and
right.
And if they have no, if your email no longer works, because people change your email as if it's not important. Your email is like your phone number, your business phone number.
That's right.
Do not change it. If you change it, have it bounce into your new number.
That's right.
Because you
That's
never
right.
know who you might have given your card to 5 years ago.
And they are filing it
and
calling you back.
And it's the biggest job that you might get. It's very strange. I don't know how people do it. Don't change your have your web presence up. Make sure it's consistent. If you change anything, make sure it bounces, it forwards.
Right,
because
it rolls
so
over.
Important. I can't tell you how many times I email people or I pick up the phone to call people who have met years ago and have something for them, and I can't reach them. I can't reach because the phone number is no longer, the email no longer works. So you have to do that. You
okay.
Must...
Lorna, can you believe it? We only have 37 minutes remaining.
My goodness.
Oh, my heavens, where has the time gone?
Right.
What I would like for you to do at this stage, Lorna, is to please take some time and give the listeners a sort of checklist, if you may, how they can keep account of themselves, whether they are really operating a successful business.
Yes.
You know, some of the things to guide them along.
Yes. Well, first of all, you have to treat your business like a business. And people have always said, pay yourself first. And you're like, but I'm not getting any money.
Mm.
Pay yourself first, be it $1, $2, $100. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be dipping into your business all the time. You take a dollar here and a dollar there, and it's a mess. It's really a mess. keep a business account, a bank account for your business, and one for your personal. A lot of banks these days have no interest checking account. You know, you can get a simple one. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just that it allows your accountant to be able to separate out your the way you do business. Because a lot of times you make no profit, but nobody can figure out what's going on.
Right.
So I have a little shoebox. It's called, it just says my business. And when I go out and I do anything for my business, be it I go to Office Depot and buy one thing or one stamp from the post office, get your receipt, and I just throw it in. And I usually just put the date in pencil big so that I can see it. Because a lot of times, you know, the those computer-driven things, the ink kind of fade by the time
yeah.
the season again, or you can't see it. So I just put it. Or if I have lunch with somebody, he said coffee with somebody, and I put a note, who it was and the date and the time and what we talk about, and let my accountant worry about doing that. So that, you know, so those are some of the things that you need for your business. You, when you meet people, before they leave, you should be able to tell them that you have a business, and please, if they ever need your services, you'll be happy to service them. A book that I recommend people read is The Golden Standard, and it's the story of the Ritz-Carlton. You need to run your business like a Ritz-Carlton. The customer is always right. Let me repeat it. The customer is always right. Okay.
That's right. What's the name of the book? Would you repeat that as well, please?
It's called The Golden Standard, and it's a story of the Ritz-Carlton, and I love it. I love the Ritz-Carlton because they treat everybody that comes into their business as ladies and gentlemen.
That's
and
right.
And who are serving you, their motto is, we are ladies and gentlemen taking care of ladies and gentlemen, and you need to treat your clients like that.
That's right.
Give above and beyond. When people come to my business, my workshops or anything, you get more than you pay, period. Period.
That's right.
I hold most of my women series, my monthly workshop at the Ritz-Carlton, and I've been doing it for 5 years, and I do it because I respect you who come. I want to put you in a beautiful, elegant place where people will treat you as ladies and gentlemen. And when you leave, it's a very uplifting thing. It's a very uplifting thing. Another thing I found, Daphne, when I didn't have any money and I was going through my stuff, is that I would save every dime, and once a month or once a week, I would go to a 5-star hotel and have a cup of coffee. Okay? The reason it's called, I call it, it's a principle I call re-entry.
Yes.
The brain doesn't know the difference between real and imagined.
That's right.
So when you go to that place, you could go to any small coffee shop around the corner, and coffee is $3, okay? So the $5, say, for example, at a Ritz or the Biltmore or whatever, is for the coffee and for your tip.
That's right.
And I used to sit there, and when they'd say to me, Madam, would you like a refill? I would be thinking, do they charge for refill? Because I only have $5. But the point of the matter is, by being in this beautiful space, my brain doesn't know that I'm broke.
That's
all
right.
All it knows is that I'm at this
ambiance, the elegance, the company walking in.
Yeah. And when I leave there, I am so empowered. I feel so good. I'm
inspired.
Not out. I am not depressed. And so I would run on that for a while. So that's why I say to you, instead of buying a little thing on the street corner, save that money and go to a nice little restaurant, even once a month, $15,
right.
and have lunch. Lunch meal is cheaper than dinner. No, don't have a glass of wine and a cup of coffee. When
that's
they
right.
say, would you like something to drink, say, no, water, please.
Water, please, and if you have some fresh lemon, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know something, Lana, I want to, don't lose your trend of thought. I want to share something about what you just said about your brain doesn't know you're broke. I was having a conversation this past Friday night with a woman I went to a church service. And she used to attend my present church. She no longer does. And she was just sharing with me all the advantages she was gaining by being a senior. And all of a sudden she was sitting there speaking to me, and I said to her, I said, Rochelle, I didn't realize I was a senior until you began talking to me. And her eyes popped open. She said, what? How could you not? I said, girl, I had no idea I was a senior until you started talking about it. And she said to me, she said, don't you know when you go to the restaurants, you can ask for the senior menu?
Yeah.
I said, well, I have no reason to do that because I can always afford what I'm ordering.
Yes. Yes, because you don't want to see yourself a victim. You don't want to see yourself in poverty. You don't, because how you see yourself becomes your reality.
That's
thought,
right.
Thoughts held in mind reproduce after their own kind. So you want to always see yourself prosperous. You always want to dress up and go sit in a place like that and order a cup of coffee and tip well.
That's right.
You always want to do that. You always want to reward yourself for accomplishing the task. Because one of the things when you are the only business person in your business, you're torn between many things. And sometimes at the end of the day, you're like, what did I get done today?
Mm.
So what I recommend you do, if you do not have to open your email first thing in the morning, don't. Set a time of day to open your email, because you know you get involved in the email and before you look around, it's 11 o'clock in the morning and the morning has gone by. So what I suggest is that open it, say, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and people start realizing that it's not that you're ignoring them, but they notice that every day at 2 o'clock they start getting responses from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you are a business person and you have a business email, you must answer your business email within a 24 hours just like you would a telephone call because it is your business. You can't answer it a week later, because
mm-hmm.
by the time you do that, the opportunity would certainly have gone past you. So you've got to treat it like a business email and open it every single day, but you might want to set a particular time of day to open it so that you don't get caught up in the drama. And please do not open these forwarded emails. Time is money. Tell your friends, do not send you jokes. Do not send you passes on to 8 people. Don't, because that's not what your email is for. It is your
business
email. And time is money. You can spend all that time. They send you something. You're like, oh, this is great. And they send back and say, you're telling me. And you're back and forth. And before you know it, you've spent 15 minutes on this crazy back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's time when you could have been investing in your clientele
in your
and building your
making
clientele.
Making a call, making that call. At the end of every day, say to yourself, what have I done to move my business forward? You must answer that, because some days can be very wasted. And be truthful if you say, oh, my goodness, today was a mess. I didn't do anything. I was busy. Do not confuse activity for progress.
Mm-hmm.
So be able to evaluate how your day went, how your week went, how your month went. Constantly give you feedback. Evaluate some of the places that you go for lunch, meaning that you go to these business luncheons. In the last 2 years, have you gotten any money out of that organization?
That's right.
It is perhaps not the place for you. Go somewhere else.
Right. It's like a lot of people go to these networking luncheons. And I say, don't be joining unless you know you can add value and they add value to you.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I say, you don't need to go every week to pay $16 to have lunch with somebody who's not adding value to you.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, so you got to be selective.
You've got to be tight. Be very tight, because here's the deal. You're not always going to have to be so tight because your business will do well. Okay, and
yes.
You know, there's a song or there's a thought that says, I will do today what others won't, so I can literally have a lifestyle tomorrow that
mm-hmm.
they don't have. Okay, and so focus. Be lazily focused. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left, unless you're just checking out your periphery.
Mm-hmm.
Do not compare yourself with others.
Mm.
There are greater people in this world and lesser persons than yourself. Don't do that.
That's right, but their purpose is not yours. Yes. Just stick to your purpose.
Stick to your purpose. And I have said to you, you can copy other people, but now I'm telling you, don't copy other people. What I mean, don't copy other people in a bad way. In a bad way. Don't steal concepts and ideas from people and don't credit them with it. You know,
right.
Because you might do that and you go somewhere and you're talking and you're making it sound like your business. And guess who? You're talking to the person.
That's right.
So
that's
always
right.
Credit. Say, look, there's a gentleman in town called Johnny Regan, and he had a big thing. He used to say, how can I support your vision? And I have adopted that concept. But I always say, I got it from Johnny Regan.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm teaching it, how can I support your vision? I said, those are not my thoughts. Those are my ideas. Those are not my ideas. I am borrowing it from Johnny Regan. So you want to do that. You want to give people credit where credit is due. If someone does something nice for you, follow up with a nice little handwritten note.
Yes.
Thank you for doing such a nice thing for me.
Gratitude.
People respect that. If you send out, you know how we're doing emails and sometimes you do it late at night?
Uh-huh.
And when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that I sent that email out with that typo.
Follow up.
And this is a concept I got from Terry Williams. She has a book. I don't know what it's called anymore. It's a business book, Terry Williams' first business book. I don't know what it's called. I don't remember. But she had, back then, she had what's called an oops letter, which kind of said, you know, we try to do the best. It doesn't happen very often, but I noticed I sent you a letter and it had a typo in it. My apologies.
Uh-oh.
So I have an oops email, and I get that from my friend Terry Williams in New York, publicist extraordinaire. And I sent out an oops email and said, you know, I was multitasking. I noticed I sent you an email with a typo. I'm sorry, oops. Treat your email as a business email. Don't be writing things in there or writing bad grammar or bad spelling. You know, there's a give and take with email that is not, it's a little bit different. There's a language of email. There's shorter phrasing and sometimes not complete phrasing. But don't send crazy things that you'd be embarrassed about. And if you check something, a thought or a typo or something, send an oops email and say, look, I caught it. Because it reflects on your business.
Right, and your taking responsibility and taking responsibility for what didn't work.
Because you're asking people to give your business, and they're like, I'm not going to give my business if you look like that, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, those are some of the things that you absolutely, absolutely must pay attention to. You know, your success lies in the detail.
Okay, thank you so much. We have 23 minutes remaining here. Did you have anything on your mind that we did not cover during this conversation?
Well, I think also that people need to realize that they need to generate income in many ways. And that, like you said, you were a Mary Kay consultant or you're a Mary Kay consultant. One has to realize that the whole business landscape is very, very different. And so some of the things we used to frown at, I'm not here pushing one multi-level or one direct selling over the other, but whatever, that's not my purpose. My purpose is to say that put yourself in a way to generate multiple streams of income, that, you know, wealth is truly made where you can get other people's effort. You're better off building a business where you're making money a little bit from everybody's effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a far-fetched idea anymore. There are several companies, legitimate, but just get one that fits you.
Right.
Don't be over there because, you know, it has to fit you, your personality. Anything, as long as it's legitimate and legal, will work if you work it.
That's right. Because a lot of people go out there looking for get-rich-quick schemes, and there's a lot of them there.
Yeah,
but,
and that's what
you know,
will get.
Every successful entrepreneur, every wealthy person, if you look over their life journey and history, they have diversified their portfolios.
Yes.
they have diversified the things that they are doing, and that's what we need to do as well, diversify what we do. It might be with products or with service, but each of us need to find the right niche in which to diversify what
right.
we are doing.
And let me just address the people who are authors or speakers or whatever. A lot of times we are chasing down the big publishing houses, and that's cool and that's good because what that does, it gives you a it perhaps gives you, they perhaps pay you something in advance, whatever that's called. But I just want to just let you understand this. Most of the publishing houses are not giving advances anymore unless you're a big, big, big one, a big, big author. A lot of the publishing houses are not putting you on an 8-city tour. Nobody has that anymore. They put very little money in the marketing. So whether you are assigned to a major publishing house or you're a self-published author, you are going to be successful. You're going to have to market yourself. That's the bottom line. And so what you need to do is to make sure as you go around, when you get people's cards, be sure to put them in your database so that you're building a huge database. And be also mindful that you, the media is your friend.
That's right, and the relationships.
Relationship. Yep. Business is still a contact sport. It's all about relationship, okay? However, a lot of people sit home, and the only media they can think about is being on Oprah. And if Oprah doesn't come knocking or calling,
they can't,
whatever. There's so many media, from Blog Talk Radio to us to all the Twitter, the Facebook, all these online magazines and stuff like that. Get used to them. Find the one that's in your area of expertise and send them an article or whatever. Become an expert. If you become an expert, you will be picked up by multiple streams of media. And that is a way you get your name out there.
You know, Lorna, you say something, and by you mentioning that, it just brought something to my mind. A few months ago, I went in town to drop my clothes off at the dry cleaners.
Right.
And I noticed the local newspaper was having an open house, so I stopped in there. I extended my hand to the editor, and I said my name.
Right.
He held on to my hand, and he said to me, "You don't have to tell me your name. I watch you twice a week on television. I want to say congratulations on the work you're doing in this community."
Right.
And I'm saying, I didn't know that man knew who I was.
Yes.
And, of course, the reason I had stopped in there was to ask whether or not I could start doing some articles for the newspaper. He said, "Of course, bring them in. I will consider them." So, you know, whatever you do, be present.
And
be visible in your community,
exactly,
because you never know who is watching you.
And the web is a great equalizer. There's a story out of New Jersey now that's been on CNN and everything, and I had her on my radio show last week. Her name is Angela Logan. She's the mother who baked herself out of foreclosure. Now, that story broke in a small community newspaper. And before you knew it, she was on CNN and Fox and Lord knows what else. And everybody has, you know, surrounded themselves to help her. So don't ignore your local newspaper. Don't ignore the web. You can do a lot of good. Also, give away a chapter of your book. Let people download it for free. You know, they will come back for the rest of the book. And don't be driving everybody crazy about going on Oprah with your book, because if you self-publish your book, you only have 100. And if you went on Oprah, you're not going to have enough to suffice Oprah's audience. You know what I mean? So it's like, why are you driving people about going on Oprah? Shine where you are. Shine where you are. And, yes, Oprah will come calling.
That's right.
You know, but stop calling Oprah and you only have 100 books.
I never told you that one. That is so funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, you only have 100
on Oprah. I don't know
how many people in her audience.
Audience, that's just for the audience. What are you going to get when the phones start ringing, you know? So the point of the matter is this. Get on Oprah, but start where you are.
Shine where you are.
Shine where you are. If you're a motivational speaker, get a product. Understand this. There's more money to be made from the back of your room than they're going to perhaps pay you in fees.
Uh-huh.
You need a product to sell. You're leaving too much money on the table when you don't have a product. And you can align yourself with somebody else's product to get the candle and the body wash and the body scrub. That's what I do. And then I have my books and my CD. But you don't have to use your brain, use your creativity to make money and also make it work for you. A lot of the big writers like the Deepak Chopra and all like that, they're making more money not from the sale of their book, but from the secondary market that comes from it, the endorsements, for example, the speaking, the conferencing. That's where the money is. So you need to realize that it's really not from the book, because unless you are the lady who sold Harry Potter, it's really not from the book. It's from everything else. And for her, it's also from the merchandising and everything else,
mm-hmm.
the licensing that comes from all of that.
That's right. You know, I was speaking with a gentleman the other day last week, and he was saying, you know, people do not understand that it is as easy to sell a $10,000 product as it is to sell a $20 book.
It is. It really is. It really is. It really is.
It all has to do with your mindset.
Yes.
And where you are, if you can only see that you're only worth $20, so that's what you're going to keep pushing.
Yes, yes.
You know, but if you put a higher value on the service that you're offering, then you know that, hey, it's worth it. It's worth it.
It is.
Lorna, we have 14 minutes remaining. I want to give you an opportunity to now give your closing thoughts, please.
Yes, well, one of the things I want to say to people is that don't buy into the whole recession thing. This is time perhaps not to answer the phone when some people keep calling or whatever, because you need to stay upbeat. You need to stay focused. You need to collaborate. There's no need for you to do the heavy lifting all by yourself. The biggest givers are also the biggest gainers. Also, we talked about looking outside your area. Look outside the United States to build relationships. Look outside the United States even to position your business. Now, if you're going to do that in a big way, you might want to know all the rules and the regulations and the legality that goes with doing business in another country. And that's certainly for another day. But the point of the matter is that use what you have. Use lemon and make lemonade. Use the internet for your benefit. Learn to harness the internet. Do not say, I don't know how to use the internet. Get a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Pay a kid $20 or $10 or $5 an hour, whatever, to teach you the basics. You don't have to know how to build a website. You just need to know how to navigate the internet and get yourself seen and heard on the internet. The other thing you want to do is business is a relationship. And so when you go to all these conferences or these luncheon meetings, before you shove your hand in somebody's face and say, participate on my business, find out how you can help them.
That's
now, borrow
right.
the phrase from Johnny Regan and said, how can I support your business? And always, always create win-win situation for others. Another thing is treat your business like a business. Answer your calls professionally. If you have children answering your phone or you're answering your phone out of your home, don't let the caller hear you yelling phone, or you know, you call some people and they'll tell you, well, mom is in the bathroom or something like that. Try and keep the background noise to as professional as possible. because it is okay. Everybody works out of their home now. It's a wonderful thing, but you still have to realize is you're at work.
That's right.
You're at work. And if you work from home, have designated work hours. If in your business it's 9 to 5, then you should keep 9 to 5 hours. You can't be out shopping and eating with friends and people calling you to go shopping because they're confused. They don't realize you're at work. And your family, they're calling you, Mom, can you pick this up? No, you're at work. You're at work. So get your family used to the fact that you are at work. If you work from home, make a point to go out from your house at least twice a month to other things, because you can be very isolated and miss a lot of contact because you're working from home. You're not seeing anybody. All your work is on the internet and all like that. And to grow your business, you have to set time to go out, even if it is just to go to a local coffee shop to sit down and do your business from there for an hour so you can run into other people to grow your business. So you constantly need that exposure. Become an expert in your area. Write articles, volunteer for articles, you know, get your name out there. If there's a local run, 5K run, you know, race in your area, go to a Costco and buy some water. Like, I don't know, it's 30 cents, you know. Even if you buy just one box, which would say 25, I don't know what's in there, 24, 25.
Yeah, they have a small box with the half-size Kirkland with 70-something in it, 34
and
34,
yeah,
78.
Yeah, for a couple bucks. And,
right.
And will you, as people running or whatever, or people are there, give it out. You can give it out by slapping your card on it or putting a rubber band and tagging your card to it or something, or have a sign that says, because if they're running, they're going to throw away the bottle. But a sign so you're visible. You're giving away water. For $5, you can have a presence, we're giving away water. You know, at church, you can take an ad out in your church newspaper. Those are usually little money. So what you can afford, start where you can afford and give yourself presence. Be everywhere that works for you so people see it. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, you know, that sort of thing. You know, do a bake sale or whatever where people can see, when people can see you. And, yes, speak for free at the Rotary, the Kiwanis, all the service clubs. Go and be there, turn up for that. If there's a luncheon that you have to pay money to, or you ask somebody out for lunch, you're on a diet. Just have a salad.
That's right.
And let them, because you know you only have a limited amount of money in your place. Start finding out nice places that have lunch for little.
That's right. That's,
you know,
right.
So that you can go and you don't have to worry, because even if the person has an appetizer, an entree, and coffee, you know that it's not going to go over so-and-so because you've gone and you checked out the menu.
Right, before that.
Beforehand. So there are lots of little things that you can do.
All right. Lorna, thank you so much. And I got to be honest with you, girl. I have a prayer into the Father because I would love to see us both on the same stage.
Absolutely.
In some life. So I have a prayer out to the Father, and I'm waiting for manifestation.
Very good. Very good.
Well, it was such a blessing, Lorna, and I want you to once again, just in case people joined us late, I want you to once again take a couple of minutes to give your contact information out. So they can record that, please.
Absolutely. You can always call me at 305-573-8423 or go to my website at andthewomengather.com. The email for that is info@andthewomengather.com. I love to speak. I will certainly love to speak at your conferences, your meetings. If you want one-on-one coaching, that is also great. And I just want to tell people that I have a wonderful book called Everyday Grace, Everyday Miracle, Living the Life You're Born to Live. And it has stories from 10 different countries, 43 authors from around the world shared amazing stories of miracle and grace, including Estella Washington, the girl who I got out of jail. She tells her story and also how she's doing. So those are some of the things that are out there, and I'd certainly love your listeners to connect.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, the book is up on the blog I had put up on you. So if they go there, they can see the book. You also have a daily devotion,
right,
and that is up there as well. So I want to give you 2 minutes to give a closing statement.
I say to people, dream big. Dream big. That everything is possible. And that you keep your head down and work at it. Be focused. And you will get it. I am a big encourager of person. I don't look at what is. And you can learn all the skills and stay away from negative people. They're not going to be very helpful to you. And, you know, Daphne, what you're doing is amazing work. What you do on your television, what you do on this radio show is amazing work. I am, you know, honored to call you a sister friend. And so I say to people, get yourself a sister friend and make sure that you're in the water with us. Because I think a change is coming, but you have to be in the water with us.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lorna. And I want to ask my listeners to surround your family with prayer at this time.
Okay.
And especially for your mother who is hospitalized now, but we are lifting up in prayer.
Yes.
And ask for peace and comfort and recovery for her.
Yes.
And bring joy and comfort to the rest of your family. And keep me informed as to what's going on with you. And if you're available, I want to invite you next Wednesday when I'll have Leslie Householder back on. May I call her the Jackrabbit Lady? She's coming back on. And again, we are going to be rocking your world. I want to just give thanks to Lorna Owens for coming on and so eloquently empowering and inspiring our lives. With what she has shared with you today, I don't want to hear anybody ever saying, I can't do it because of whatever. Because Lorna shows you today that you can do it. I also want to remind you to stay focused. Remember that you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability in which to create excellence. You were designed for a purpose, a calling, and a destiny. And I want for you to follow that. And we have a caller. And let me hear, caller, good morning. We have 2 minutes. Good morning, caller. Your number is 2056. Do you have a question or a remark?
No, good morning. This is Miss Computer Lady.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I know there's not much time, but I just wanted to show love, first of all. And second of all, I don't know what's up with Blog Talk Radio. I couldn't hear anything, but I said, well, at least let me let her know that I was calling.
Okay, thank you. Would you send an email to them, too, and let them know? I don't know what has been happening to the system here.
I don't either, but there is the Blog Talk Radio one-on-one at 1 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time. So, yes, I'm going to call them and tell them about the problems I've been having with Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so you said they have a forum at at 1 p.m.?
Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio 101. I don't know the exact
signing on address.
Right, but it's just log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock, and then just click on the play chat link when you see it.
All right. Thank you so much, my sister, for blessing us. And Lorna, I want to thank you for blessing my listeners and myself, and I look forward to our continued relationship.
Okay, my pleasure. God bless you, and talk
God
to you tomorrow.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.